Can we open our gospel meeting by singing hymn number 11 on your gospel hymn sheet? Hymn number 11, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Hymn number 11. Will you turn with me to Acts 27. Acts 27. You know, this chapter has often been put forth in ministry as being a little type of the history of the testimony of the church from the day of Pentecost right down to the Lord's coming. But tonight, this is a gospel meeting, and we want to preach the gospel in such a fashion that it will reach any here tonight who are still lost and in their sins. And the Lord graciously revealed some wonderful thoughts here in this chapter, in the gospel aspect of this chapter. And I want to go through this chapter verse by verse and just take us up in a gospel aspect. And just thinking of this, tonight we've been singing, will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? You know, there's an awful storm that's going to come upon this world, a storm of God's judgment coming upon this world. And I believe that that moment is not very far off when the Lord Jesus is going to come and claim his own and take his own to be with him in that coming scene of glory. I'm waiting for that moment. I'm waiting eagerly for that moment to come. And surely your heart, if you belong to the Lord Jesus, and my heart would cry out, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But we're burdened about the gospel. You know, supposing there tonight there would be one here, or two, or three, maybe young little boy or young girl here tonight that has never come to the Lord Jesus and confessed Him as Lord and Savior of your life. We want you to realize your awful lost condition before a holy God tonight. And I want to realize that God is holy. He cannot have sin in His presence. That God is of the pure eyes and to behold iniquity. And it says in Isaiah 57:15, "Thus saith the Holy One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy." God is holy. And He can't have sin in His presence. And you and I, dear one tonight, can never get to heaven in all our sins. Oh, we need that precious work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, and His precious blood that was shed for you and I. Shed for rebels, shed for sinners. And I can say, thank God, shed for me. And I can say tonight, hallelujah, what a Savior that we have. Oh, think of that. That blessed one, the Lord Jesus Christ, left that scene of glory 2,000 years ago and came down here into this world, where He had no home in this world, but walked about a perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God. John the Baptist could look upon that blessed one and say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That blessed one that came into this world 2,000 years ago. But oh, dear one tonight, think of that. That blessed one went to Calvary's cross for you and I, because He saw us in all our need as guilty, lost sinners. And He saw our need that we could never, never merit heaven at all. And he went to that cross and died for guilty sinners such as you and I. And the Apostle Peter could say, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree. That blessed one, in those three long dark hours there on Calvary's cross, was made sin for us and bare our sins in His own body on the tree. And when we think of that Roman soldier that took that spear and plunged it in utter hatred to the Lord Jesus Christ there on that cross. And it says, "Forthwith came there out blood and water," that blood to save your sins and my sins. Has He saved your sins? You know, it says in 1 John 1:7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." You'll never get to heaven without the blood of Christ, and you'll never get to heaven without the work of Christ that was accomplished for you. And now let's look at this chapter just verse by verse, and let's just think about it this way: as that this little boat that we're going to take a journey on, maybe this is your little boat. Maybe this is your little boat. Think of this, dear young boys, young girls here sitting beside your mom and dad tonight. You know about a little boat, don't you? Sometimes you've gone down to the lake with your dad in the boat or something like that, or sometimes you've had a toy boat that you've sailed. But think of this. Your boat, this boat that we have here, this could be your life. This could be your life. And what about your life? And which direction is your life going? And so let's look at this, chapter 27 of the book of Acts. "And when it was determined that we should sail unto Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band. And entering into a ship of Adramedium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian, Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go to his friends to refresh himself." Well, we find this boat is on a journey, you know. And I believe that in this boat there were 276 souls on this boat. And it was on a journey. And you're on a journey too, a journey of life. And where is that journey going to take you? Is it to the glory where the Lord Jesus is? Or is it to that awful, awful place that God doesn't want to send you? He does not want to send you there. God doesn't want to send a man to hell. No, He doesn't. He says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their evil ways and live. And then He says, "For turn ye, for why will ye die? Why will ye die?" Oh, God doesn't want you to die in your sins. No, He doesn't. No, He's offering you salvation full and free to whosoever will tonight. His arms are outstretched to you tonight. He's saying to you, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And we find here that Paul, he was refreshed with his friends, and I believe that's just what we're getting here this weekend. We're getting refreshment, aren't we? Over the precious Word of God, we've had a whole day of refreshment. And you know, I believe this is just a little taste of the home to which we're going to. Oh, what a wonderful home to which we're going to. And I'm longing for that moment when we'll see the Blessed One face to face. And verse 4, "And when we launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy. And he put us therein." And here we go again. I'm just saying this tonight. Is this your boat? And you're in this boat. Think of this. You're on a journey. You're in this boat. But where are you going? Oh, there was a destination here that was recorded. But what about you? Where are you going? Passing onward, quickly passing. Yes, but whither bound? Is it to the many mansions where eternal rest is found? Is this your hope? Is this your destination? Is this where you're going? Thank God I can say tonight by the grace of God that He saved my precious soul. And I know that this is where I'm going, to be with the Lord Jesus in the glory. This is my hope. And this is my future. The Lord Jesus is my future. Is He your future? Are you going? Are you on this ship? And where are you going? "And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce came over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salome. And hardly passing it, we came thence to which is called the Fair Havens, nigh unto where there was a city of Lycia." Well, what do we find here? We find it says they sailed slowly. And then it says, They came to a place called the Fair Havens. You know, the other day, my wife and I went into a campsite. And we camped there. And we parked our little van there and put the top up and turned on all the appliances and everything else. And I looked up and there was a great big mobile home. I would imagine that $200,000 would be a good figure, that mobile home sitting beside our little camper. And we felt a little bit foolish sitting beside it. But, you know, here's a man that probably had a lot of money. And he had a lot of fair havens. And he prospered in his life, probably. And, you know, there are many like that in this world today. Many that are going down this highway that we were going through in Nebraska and Iowa, mobile home after mobile home. Where are they going? Where did they get all the money for all those wonderful rigs that they were? You know, it was the goodness of God that allowed them to have that. It's the goodness of God. And you know what it said on the Jeep that it was towing? There was a United States flag. You'll pardon me because I'm Canadian. But it was an American flag. And you know what it said? God bless America. And you know, I believe that. God bless that man. I don't know whether he knew the Lord as his Savior. But God bless that man because he had all this wonderful rig that he was traveling in. But I wonder if he blessed God. I wonder if he blessed God. And I know that many, since September the 11th, have made this one comment, and everybody's saying it, God bless America, but as America bless God? As America blessing God? Is America thinking about God. You know, it says in Psalm 10, God is not in all his thoughts. You know, here's a man that today, probably Saturday, he's out in his garden and he's enjoying his garden. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. He's cutting his lawn. He's got a nice green lawn and everything is fine. And he's admiring all his wonderful things that he has, his garden and his lawn. But who gave him that lawn? Who gave him the water? Who gave him the sunshine for that lawn? God did. And without that, what would he have? Would he have that nice lawn? Would he have that nice garden? And here's a man, he takes his boat and he goes out fishing. And he catches a fish. And what about that? Well, that's enjoyable too. But without God, would he have that fish? Would he have that boat? Would he have that water? And so many today are in that place of the fair havens and going on slowly and enjoying life, aren't they? And everything's going along fine. Now let's go on. Verse 9. Now when time was spent. Think of those words, when time was spent. You know, dear one, tonight, time is passing on. Time is passing on. And the Lord Jesus is coming. If the Lord Jesus was to come tonight, would every seat in this room be empty? Oh, wouldn't it be nice? But I fear that tonight there may be some here tonight in this room that are still lost and in their sins. I fear this. And it's to you tonight that I speak to. It says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You know, there's many young people here tonight. Have you come to Jesus yet? Maybe you'll be like me when I was young. I'll wait till I'm a little older. And so I waited. And I was in my 20s before I accepted Christ as my own personal Savior. Those, to me, were wasted years of my life. The time to come to Christ is when you're young. Come now. Come now. And he's inviting you to come. And he's wanting you to come. He's willing for you to come. Have you come yet? Verse 10. Now, let's go to the latter part of verse 9. And the fast was now already past. Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt, with much damage, not only the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Now we have here a warning. A warning. And you know, that's what the gospel brings. I wouldn't be faithful tonight in preaching the gospel unless I gave a solemn warning of coming judgment, of those that would reject the gospel, that reject the wonderful offer of salvation that the Lord Jesus is offering you tonight. What a solemn thing to reject Christ. A solemn thing to put it off. Last weekend, we had the joy of having a gospel in our meeting room in Richmond. We invited people from all over to come to the gospel. The ladies put on a wonderful turkey dinner for these dear ones that we invited. And thankfully, there was probably about 20 souls came to that gospel besides our own assembly. And there was one special person that came there. And we had asked that man over and over and over again to come to the gospel. Harry, will you come to the gospel? Will you come and hear the news of salvation? Not now. maybe some other time. Well, that was two or three Gospels ago. And a couple of Gospels ago, Harry, you're going to come to the Gospel? Well, maybe next time. I'll promise I'll come next time. Okay, that time came. I said, Harry, you promised you'd come to the Gospel. Harry came to the Gospel. Harry came to the Gospel, but he never listened. He never listened. He was talking all the time to his neighbor. So we tried once more. Harry, you come into the Gospel. Yeah, I'll come. Harry, listen. Harry, listen to the Gospel. I pray that God will save Harry's precious soul and all those that were there that night. What a wonderful thing it is to preach the Gospel. What wonderful news of salvation. What wonderful news to a lost world that we can proclaim this wonderful Gospel. Are you, like Harry, turning a deaf ear to the Gospel? Are you just sitting here waiting for a better moment or a better time? You know, God's time is right now. Come tonight before it's forever too late. And so there's this warning. Sir, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lady in the ship, but also of our lives. And you know what it says next? Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master, the owner of the ship, more than those things which were spoken of by Paul. Oh, we've had this afternoon the word of God. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This precious word of God that we have open before us this afternoon, there's words of life in here. Words of life. Salvation offered to you, dear one, tonight. You're going to turn a deaf ear to it? This is a warning for those that would reject this wonderful offer of salvation. You see, God has given the very best when He gave His beloved Son. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave the very best that His heart of love could give when He gave His beloved Son. But what an insult it is to the heart of God and say, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. And the Word of God, they never read it. They never pick it up and read it. Here in this wonderful book, wonderful words of life. When I say this, my own self, for 20 years, this book of mine lay on my shelf catching dust. And those, I say, were wasted years. Oh, dear one, tonight, I want you to know this wonderful Savior, this wonderful, wonderful Savior, this all-the-way-home Savior who looks after you, cares for you, who blesses you, who keeps you. What a wonderful, loving Savior to know. Do you know this wonderful person that we're proclaiming tonight? He's the Savior of sinners. His arms are outstretched to you, and He wants to save you tonight. Won't you come to Him tonight? What I like about the Gospel, because it's so urgent, because the Lord Jesus could come tonight and it would be forever too late for those that never accepted Him as Lord and Savior. Think of it, too late will be the cry, Jesus of Nazareth has passed by. Will you hear those words? Pass by. But yet, tonight, His heart of love is reaching out to you. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You can come as a guilty lost sinner. You know you've sinned against God. It says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Those awful sins of yours have separated you from a holy God. You could be here tonight, all dressed up, nice and pretty in your dress or in your are the clothes that your mommy put on you. But you know, it says, God looketh on the heart. God looketh on the heart. When I look down in this audience, I see many faces and many young girls, young boys. handsome, pretty, but what about your heart? Is your heart stained with sin? You know, we sing the song, my heart was black with sin until the Savior came in. His precious blood, I know, has washed me white as snow. Are you washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now it says that in verse 12, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, and the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is the haven of Crete, which lieth toward the south west and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed by Crete. And here we find, here in this 12th verse, the south wind blew softly. Oh, you know, that's the soft summer breezes. And everything is going well, isn't it? Everything is going well in your life, and all things are just nice and rosy. Aren't they? Luke chapter 12. Verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room to where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The south wind blew softly for this man. Everything was going well. He said, eat, drink, and be merry. But forget about God. Forget about God. And you know what it says here? Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Oh, this man lived for himself, and many there are that are living for themselves and enjoying all the pleasures of sin for a season and leaving God out of their life. What a solemn thing. What a solemn thing to live through this life, right through this life, and come to the end of your days and still don't know Christ as your Savior. We go to the Fraser View care home, not too far from us, where my mother is, and we talk to the dear old folks there, and we sing to them. And many of those dear old folks are just sitting there with blank faces. It's so sad, because I believe that many of them have heard the gospel and rejected it over and over again. Their hearts hardened all the way through their lives. And what have they got to look forward to? An awful, awful eternity without hope, without God in this world. What a solemn thing. Dear one tonight, oh, we don't want this for you. We want you to know this wonderful Savior, the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to come to know Him. It's so wonderful. It's so exciting to be a child of God. He is so wonderful. Now let's go to verse 14. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind and covered them. Ah, now look at this. Dear one tonight, when lo, a storm began to rise. The wind grew loud and strong. It blew the clouds across the skies. It blew the waves along. You know, many there are that have rejected Christ. God has, in His mercy, brought a storm into their lives. A storm into their lives. This person that's speaking to you tonight had a storm come into my life. Because I rejected Christ as my Savior, I wanted to have a lot of fun in this world, even though I grew up in a Christian home. And I rejected Christ as my Savior for years. And one day, I went to a gospel meeting. I believe the man's name was Willie Martin. And I went through that gospel meeting, and I went out of that room, lost, still in my sins. And that night, a storm came into my life, and I knew that God was speaking to me. Yes, He did. He spoke to me that night, and I cried to the Lord for mercy to save me, and He did. And I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry that He brought that storm into my life, because this was a real storm. A real storm. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, and running under a certain island which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. You see, here it is. Here's this boat, and it's getting into trouble. Is this your little boat? Are you getting into trouble? Is there problems in your life? You know, I believe God in His mercy is bringing those problems into your life so that you might realize that you have to do with Him. And He wants to save you. You see, that's it. A wonderful God. And so this storm comes in, and I believe these ones in this boat say, well, we can handle this storm. We can handle this storm. And there are many like that tonight that have a storm come into their life, and I can handle this. This is all right. I'll be able to handle this. But what's happening now? The storm gets worse. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. Why? Because God doesn't want to send you to hell. He wants to save your precious soul. And so the storm gets worse. And what do they do? Which when they had taken up, verse 17, they used helps, ungirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, straight sail, and were so driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day we lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out our own hands in the tackling of the ship. Well, what are we trying to do now? Oh, we're trying to change our life a little bit. We're turning over a new leaf. Oh, I know what that's all about. I know when I was a young fella, I tried to turn over a new leaf, do things a little better, and to change this in my life and change that in my life. It don't work. You need a complete life change. You need a life in Christ. And that's what I needed. And that's what you need. And so they're trying to make themselves over better. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not matter yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh no. You see, the work has all been done on Calvary's cross. When the Lord Jesus there on Calvary's cross could say, it is finished. It is finished. Il est consumé. It is consumed. Everything done for you and I. Nothing left for us but to come to Christ. Will you come to Christ tonight? Then it says in verse 21, neither sun nor stars or many days appear, and no small tempest lay upon us. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. Oh, look at this. This awful storm. And what a hopeless situation. They're saying, this is hopeless. This is hopeless. And many there are that today are saying, life is hopeless. And they will take their life or something like that. No hope. But yes, there is hope. There is hope. It's Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, here it is. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. That's the hope for you, dear friend, tonight. Verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this loss. You go to Isaiah 55 and verse 2, it says, Paul, I should know it. 55. O everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk, without money, without price. Wherefore do ye spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligent unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. You see what it says there? Hearken diligently unto me. You see, that's what the Lord Jesus is saying to you tonight. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? He wants you to listen. Are you listening tonight? These are wonderful words of life, and they're being offered to you tonight. Or are you going to be like me that turned a deaf ear to it all? We were talking about a man, Brother Stan and I, a little while ago, a man by the name of Stanley McDowell. I remember that man come to the Vancouver meeting room when I was a young boy, and he was one of the most wonderful gospel preachers that I ever heard. But you know what never moved me? Never. And I could see to this day the tears streaming down the face of that dear man as he pleaded for lost souls, and it never even moved me. Does it move you, dear one, tonight? Have you inclined your ear? Are you listening to what God is saying to you? Or does God have to bring a real storm into your life? Verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, as I look over this audience tonight, it says here, there shall be no loss of any man's life but of you. Wouldn't it be nice if everyone here tonight knew the Lord Jesus as their own personal Savior? Everyone in this, I don't know how many is in this audience, maybe there's 400 or so. Everyone saved tonight by the sovereign grace of God. No loss of life here tonight. Everyone know Christ as their own personal Savior. Oh, what a joy that would be. But I believe that there are some here tonight still lost. And to you I speak tonight. Oh, come now. Come now. The Lord Jesus is saying to you. Then it says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whose I say, saying, fear not, Paul, thou shalt be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And here we find Paul giving an exhortation. What is he saying? I believe God. I believe God. Do you believe God? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Can't you think of, we were talking about Paul and Silas this morning. There, their backs bleeding, singing praises to God. And it says, and the prisoners heard him. And that jailer, he saw his awful need. God brought a storm into that man's life, a real earthquake, wasn't it? To shake that man up. And he saw his need. And he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know the answer to that. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. I believe God. I believe God. Dear one tonight, I told a story, and I'll tell it.
again.
I know some of you have heard it. And this is a nice story. This story is about a young girl and a Christian man. And I believe in this story that this young girl was led by the Lord to stir up this Christian man to be a little more of a testimony to the world in which he was passing through. And so the story goes this way. It was a true story. This man got on board this airplane, and he got his seat, and he sat down in his seat. And in a few minutes, a young girl came and sat beside that man. And this young girl was mentally retarded. And this young girl reminds me a lot of a young man in Newfoundland. He's just like this. We all know him. A dear young brother in Christ. Loves the Lord. And this young girl was just like that. And another man came and sat beside that other man. And as the story goes, as the plane got going, the young girl turned to this man. And she says to him, "Mister, do you brush your teeth?" And the man turns to her and says, "You know, it's a strange question." But "Yes, I brush my teeth." "Well," she says, "that's good. You see, people who don't brush their teeth lose their teeth." And so there's a long pause. And then she comes out with another question and she says, "Mister, do you smoke?" "No, I don't smoke." She says, "Well, Mister," she says, "that's good, because people who smoke die." And then there's a long pause. And then she says, "Mister, do you love Jesus?" "Do you love Jesus?" "There's a question. How about you tonight? Do you love Jesus? Do you? Do you love that name of Jesus? That name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow." You know, this man turned to her and he said, "Yes, I love Jesus. I love Jesus." She says, "That's good. People who don't love Jesus don't go to heaven." "Yeah. You won't go to heaven if you don't love Jesus. If your sins are not washed away in the precious blood of Christ, you won't go to heaven." So there's a long pause. And then she says to that man, she says, "Mister, will you ask that man next to you if he brushes his teeth?" Well, you know, she wanted to stir that man up. His neighbor next to him. You have a neighbor next to you. Is he without Christ? They're on the downward road that leads to destruction. Think of it, dear one, from tonight. There are many that are on that downward road. Souls, lost souls going on to a lost eternity. Think of it. Oh, dear one, tonight, turn to that man next to you and say, "Do you love Jesus? Do you love that blessed name of Jesus? Do you love that blessed one?" Oh, surely, by the grace of God, I can say tonight, "Yea, I love that blessed one, the Lord Jesus Christ, my own personal Savior." Verse 27, "And when the 14th day night was come, as we were driven up and down Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country." Yes, dear one, tonight, we're drawing near. We're drawing near to the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming is very, very near. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you? Are your sins all washed away in the precious blood of Christ? If they're washed away in the precious blood of Christ, you're ready. Thank God you're ready. But if they're not, you're on that downward road that leads to destruction. You can't get to heaven without the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 28, "And sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they'd gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. And fearing lest we should be fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. You see, it says they sounded and it was 15 fathoms. And then they sounded, it was a little less. They were getting nearer and nearer. And dear one, tonight I want to tell you this. We're getting nearer and nearer to the Lord's coming. It's very, very soon. Very soon. Maybe tonight. Will you be left behind? And then it says, fearing lest we should be fallen on the rocks. Oh, dear one, tonight, that little boat of yours, is it going to be shipwrecked? And cast out four anchors. Oh, think of those four anchors. Ah, the four Gospels. What do? They show us the way of salvation. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Then it says, and verse 31, and Paul said unto the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Yes, dear one, tonight, there's only one way to be saved. It's through Christ Jesus, Savior of sinners. Verse 33, and while a day was coming on, dear one, that day is coming on. The Lord's coming. Are you ready? Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting and have taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair of your head from the head of hair fall from the head of any of you. Oh, you know, dear one, tonight, it's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance. I want to say this tonight from Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. It says, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. God is commanding you, dear one, tonight to repent of your sins. The prodigal son, when he came to his father, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Dear one, tonight, he wants you to come and repent of your sins. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And so we find that this ship, broken up, there it is. In the last verse of our chapter, I want to stop here. Go on, quite a few verses here, and just stop at this last verse. And the rest, some on broken boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safe to land. What about your little boat tonight? Is it going to get safe to land? Safe to that heavenly land? Is that where your ship is got bound for? My ship is going there. I'm going to be safe there. Thank God I am. I'm going to close this gospel meeting by going to a couple of verses in the Bible that are very solemn. That this man that I'm going to go to was not safe. His ship never got safe to land. And let us hear the cry. 2 Samuel 18. Second Samuel 18, verse 29. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servants and me, thy servant, I saw a great multitude, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? I want to just ask you this question. Young man, young girl, are you safe? Are you safe? Are you safe in Christ? Absalom was not safe. Absalom was not safe. He lived for himself. Verse 33, and the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went up, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I have died for thee. O Absalom, my son. Oh, what a cry of a father for a son who was lost. Dear one, tonight, are you lost? Are you still in your sins? Have you rejected Christ over again tonight? What a solemn thing to reject Christ. Oh, we want to plead with you tonight. Just come. Come as a guilty, lost sinner. You know, the Word of God says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that simple? Isn't that wonderful? God didn't ask you to do something complicated to get saved. He says, it only says a simple thing, believe and live. That's that, King. Loving God and our Father, we thank thee.